Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
God wants his children to learn how to live in his kingdom. Hallelujah. His kingdom is the kingdom of his dear son Jesus. So Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And our lifestyle as believers who are living the kingdom life should be in high glorification of Jesus, our king. It should be in exaltation of Jesus, our king. There shouldn't be any kind of understanding you have that doesn't exalt Jesus and what he did for you. There shouldn't be any kind of lifestyle that you live that does not glorify Jesus and glorify what he did for you. Hallelujah. So it is important for us to make Jesus, who is the king, the center of our lives and the center of our beliefs. Jesus, as you know, came to introduce to us the kingdom of God. Now, he did that by taking away the distraction to the kingdom, which was sin. God initially put mankind, Adam and Eve, in a kingdom era, but sin came in and then they lost rulership, they lost the reign of God, they lost the royalty rule and the realm of God. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ came to take us back into the kingdom system. That is why he was always fond of saying the kingdom of God is like, and he says that repent because the kingdom of God is come unto you. So Jesus Christ came to bring us back to the kingdom, and he did that by taking away the distraction, by taking away the interruption, the hindrance to the manifestation of the kingdom, and that was sin. Hallelujah. So when he took away sin, he opened the floodgate for us to live like people who belong to the kingdom. Right here on this earth, we can have heaven on earth. We can have God's royalty, God's rule, and God's realm in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our churches, in our lives, wherever we are. That is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, that is our challenge, to live the culture of the kingdom of God. That is why we are looking at the lifestyle of the culture. And Jesus Christ broke it down practically in his very first sermon. The first message, the first sentence he said was, in the first sermon, was, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of heaven." That was his very first public sermon. Hallelujah. And after that, he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In all of that, from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 or so, all over to Matthew chapter 7, in those three chapters, Jesus was speaking uninterrupted about the lifestyle of people who belong to his kingdom. And we are looking at the second one that he talked about. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, those who mourn is talking about people who have the right response to sin. Blessed are those who have the right response to sin. What is going to happen to them is that they are going to be brought near. They are going to be comforted. They are going to be brought close to God. And they will know God. They will know the truth of God. Wonderful things are going to happen to them once they get close to God. And God is comforting them. He speaks words of potential and inspiration into them. Hallelujah. Now, what we want to look today is, actually, I want to close this chapter because there are many things we have to talk about as far as the lifestyle of people in the kingdom of God is concerned. But you see, this, your right response to sin is important because Jesus Christ came to deal with sin. So, the way you relate with sin is going to show whether you believe in Jesus, you believe in what he did, and you have allowed it to affect your life right now. The way you relate to sin. Nothing else. Sin, righteousness, is key. It's the first thing God is looking at. Hallelujah. So our response to sin shows the level of your faith in Jesus. The right response shows how you believe in Jesus. The wrong response, which we have said, is it may be good, but it is wrong. Something can be good, but wrong. And something can be good and right. Hallelujah. You know, you can have a good response like Adam and Eve. When they sinned against God, they sowed fig leaves to cover themselves. That was good. That was good. That was their own way of trying to live up to the standards of God, as if nothing has happened. That was their own way. And I think it's commendable. They should help themselves, because it's wrong anyway. But they were trying to help themselves. But you see, God didn't like that response. So he came and tore those things off, so to speak. And he killed an animal, so to speak, and clothed them with an animal skin, and God was satisfied. In other words, your response to sin must not be your own one, which you have been taught from times past in your Sunday school and all that, you know, by the wisdom of men, by the sincerity of people who love God and who want to please him. But your response to sin must be God's one. God has his own way of dealing with sin. God has his own style, his own culture, and you have to believe his one, and you have to be okay with his one, because that is the one that pleases him and he is okay with. When he clothed them with Jesus, they were no more naked. When they looked at themselves, they couldn't see their nakedness. They could see who? Jesus all over them. Hallelujah. And that is how God wants our lifestyle, day-to-day lifestyle, as kingdom believers, those of us who believe in the kingdom arrangement of Jesus, the kingdom system, integrated way of living that he brought, that he said that this is how heaven is, and that is how earth must be, so that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, let's go to our text, and we are going to look at how you should respond to sin. This is very critical, and I want you to pay very close attention, because there's going to be a conflict between your religious way that you've been taught from your church or from whatever thing you see people do, even in the church right now, up to now, and then the way of Christ, the way that God has put down, and he said, this is the way I want you to respond to sin, in the light of the person, the principles or the teachings, and then the performance, the what Jesus Christ did for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I hope you are looking into your Bibles. Have you got Bibles? Look into your Bibles. Hallelujah. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, this scripture is talking about you, the believer. You have got some promises. And he is saying that you must cleanse yourself, you know, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You are holy, but he says that perfect the holiness. You have a brand new spirit, but you see, that spirit can get contaminated with wrong understanding, wrong kind of picture. So he says that cleanse it, cleanse it. Your flesh, is talking about your physical life, can also have certain things which are not nice. And he says that perfect it, cleanse it. And you do all that in the fear of God. Please underline the fear of God. We'll come to it. All right? So, this scripture is talking about, indeed, the whole of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 right down to verse 12 or so. Yeah, verse 12 is talking about our right response to sin. The kingdom response to sin. Let's jump to verse 11. It says what? For maybe a little bit of context, although I've told you it's all about it, let's look at verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Soteria, breakthrough, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So, godly sorrow, isn't it like what Jesus Christ said, blessed are those who mourn. Godly sorrow is like mourning. Godly sorrow, you are sorry for something, but it's a godly one. Hallelujah. So he says that, verse 11 now, for observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. So you can have sorrow in a manner which is not proper. You know, it doesn't glorify Jesus. It's a religious one. But he's now talking about the correct response to sin. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. Now, I want us to underline seven things in that verse. And I'm going to talk about those seven things in a very short while. I want to finish all seven. You know? And we will move on. Alright? So he says that the godly sorrow, the mourning, it produced something. Underline the first one. I say, what diligence it produced in you. Underline diligence. What clearing of yourself. Underline clearing of yourselves. What indignation. Underline indignation. Are you following my instructions? Good. What fear. Underline fear. What vehement desire. Underline vehement desire. What zeal. Underline zeal. What vindication, underline vindication. In all things, you prove yourself to be clear in this manner or in this matter. Hallelujah. So there are seven things over here in the scripture that is telling us the right response to sin. In other words, if you have the kingdom response to sin in the light of Jesus' person, principles, and performance, these seven things are going to show up in you. The first one is diligence. Says that the morning, it produced something in you. It produced diligence in you. What is diligence talking about? This diligence is talking about diligence towards seeking God. Diligence in seeking God. In other words, there was a certain diligence, if you like, determination, hard work, a certain focus that you had. Says that your morning produced diligence. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God requires for us to seek him diligently. That is why the Bible says that this godly sorrow, in other words, a person did the wrong thing, he's a believer, he did the wrong thing, and he rather sought God. He rather sought God. And he sought God in his prescribed manner. Diligently. Hallelujah. So the first thing you need to bear in mind is that the right response to sin turns your attention to seek God. To seek God. In other words, if a believer sins, and the word is if a believer sins, the believer in responding rightly to sin must turn instantly to God. Hallelujah. Because some people do not turn to God, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Some people do not see God if they sin. I'm talking about believers. They don't see God. They feel that they have done the wrong thing, so they shouldn't get anywhere close to God. They shouldn't have anything to do with God. So they move away. The sin, their response is that they move away from God. And sometimes they move away because they feel that they have to show that they are sorry. You know, so sorry for the sin that they don't want to talk to God. They don't want to come to church anymore. They don't want to pick their Bible and learn because they feel that, no, I must punish myself because I've done the wrong thing. And so I do not want to have anything to do with God. But ladies and gentlemen, this is a wrong response to sin. Hallelujah. Sometimes people want to do some penance. They want to punish themselves, you know. They impose some difficulty on their own selves to show that they are sorry. And among those difficulties, they don't want to have anything to do with God. They don't think about God because they feel that, no, to think about God is blasphemy because I have just sinned against Him. But the right response to sin is for you to have a diligence to seek God. Hallelujah. Unlike Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, they hid themselves. But that's a wrong response. Adam and Eve did a lot of wrong things. For example, I've told you already about clothing themselves with a sin, with a fig tree, a fig leaves. That is a wrong response to sin. Another wrong response that they showed was that they hid themselves from God. When they heard His voice, they said, no, not the voice of God. I'm going away from God. I don't want to see God. I don't want to see Him. But God showed Himself to them. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Hallelujah. Because the response to sin should be that you would seek God diligently. Because if you don't seek God and you move further away from God, it doesn't show that you believe in Jesus and what God did in Jesus. Hallelujah. So it looks like it's not logical, because the logic way of responding to sin is to move away from holy things and from God. But God says that the first thing is that you must diligently seek Him. And you need to understand that God, the way God looks at us, if we sin, is different from the way that the natural man looks at himself, or the believer naturally will look at himself. The believer looks at himself and he feels that, no, I have sinned. So it means that I am no more righteous before God. But God doesn't see him like that. In Christ Jesus, you retain, you still have righteousness. It's an everlasting righteousness that you do not lose, that you cannot improve upon, neither can you destroy. Hallelujah. It's an everlasting one which is there. It is God's righteousness, God's own righteousness, which cannot be improved by your good works or by your bad works. It's a status, it's a position that Jesus Christ puts you in. It is just like an unbeliever who doesn't believe in God. He's not righteous. If he does a good thing, I mean, he smiles at somebody, or maybe he stops somebody from slapping his wife and all that, he's done a good thing, right? But he doesn't make make him righteous. He's still a sinner who has done the right thing. Similarly, if a believer who is righteous positionally, because Jesus was made sin that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. Once he is in Jesus Christ, then he has the righteousness of God. And this believer, if he sins, he does not lose his righteous status. No, it doesn't make him a sinner. The sin doesn't make him a sinner. Just as the unbeliever who is unrighteous, when he does the right thing, doesn't make him righteous. Similarly, a believer who is righteous and who sins doesn't become unrighteous by that sin. And that is how God views you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that as he is, Jesus is right now in heaven, so are you in this world. And that is how God sees you. He sees you as his righteousness. So he will come to his righteousness. But you see, people have a whole lot of ideas about God. They feel that if you sin, God will leave you alone until you repent, and then God will come back. If you sin, the Holy Spirit will leave you. And then if you repent, then the Holy Spirit will come back. It is not true. Hallelujah. In the kingdom arrangement of Jesus, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. God doesn't leave us. God rather comes to us. Adam and Eve sinned, but God came to them. Hallelujah. Cain sinned, but God rather came to them. It is us who try to hide away from God. But God, sin doesn't put us away. I mean, from God's reach. He still comes to us because he is greater than sin. Hallelujah. There is nothing that can face God. There is nothing that can hinder God. Hallelujah. He can put it away and he can come to you. Hallelujah. So you need to have this understanding about God, because some people, they feel that they should move away from God and not see God diligently. It is not the case. The Holy Spirit, you see, in the Old Testament, you have stories like that. Maybe you sin, the Holy Spirit will lift from you and all that. That is then, not when Jesus Christ died. Now the Holy Spirit is a friend, and a friend will always be with you, especially when you need help. And the Holy Spirit is a helper. The greatest time I need help is when I have fallen into sin. That is when I need a helper. That is when I need a friend. And he will not forsake you at that time. He will come to you. He will help you out. He will tell you that you are righteous. Don't forget that you are the righteousness of Jesus. He will not bash your head, take you and hit you on the ground and try to punish you until you repent. No, he will not do that. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you of righteousness and tell you that you are righteous. You are righteous because of Jesus. You are righteous. Hallelujah. So that out of his gracious words unto you, comforting words unto you, you will rise up. He will not talk down at you, because you're already down. The believer has got the seed of God in him, and he doesn't need the Holy Spirit to tell him that he has sinned, because his nature, the nature of God is in him. When a foreign element enters, you don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you you have sinned, but you need the Holy Spirit to tell you that you are righteous. Hallelujah. That is what John chapter 8 verse 7 to 11 also teaches us. He convicts us of righteousness, that we are righteous. Hallelujah. So we need to have this whole different idea about God. God is not against you for you not to diligently seek him. If you sin, God is rather for you. Hallelujah. Sometimes people think that, like in the story of Adam and Eve, that God came around and God cursed them. He didn't curse man. He didn't curse man. Hallelujah. Rather, God helped mankind to come out of the pit that they have found themselves in because of sin. He cursed the serpent. Yes, he cursed the serpent. But when he came to the woman, he spoke some words, you see, to the woman that was going to help the woman to ultimately accept Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ comes. Because he told the woman that you are going to suffer in childbirth. And ladies and gentlemen, he says that in so you will bring forth to children and all that. I'll multiply your labor and things like that. Isn't it a good thing? Because if there's that thing is not there, the woman was going to bear the seed of the woman and not cherish that seed. But you see, human as we are, fallen as we are, God knows that when you suffer for something, then you cherish the outcome. Hallelujah. So when he was saying you will suffer before you bring forth, it was in preparation, because he told the woman in addition that you are going to your seed is coming. But you see, the woman has to cherish the seed of Jesus. And so she had to go through that kind of hard labor because of the fact that she was falling. He came to the man, he says, "A curse is the ground for your sake." He didn't curse Adam. He says, "A curse is the earth for your sake." The earth needed to be cursed. Do you know why? Because they had fallen and the devil had taken mastery over the earth. And if God doesn't impose limitations on the earth, the devil is going to use the earth to so appeal to mankind that mankind will not find his way back to God. So God put a curse on the thing that the devil was going to rule over, that you are going to work and it is not going to yield so much unto you, so that in the sweat of your face you will find your way to see God. Hallelujah. It was for our sake. It was a help. Because when God finds you in a pit, he will not dig a hole and bury you there. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not say to Adam and Eve that in the day that you sin, I will curse you. Did he say that? He said that in the day that you sin, dying you shall die. So when they sinned, they died. He came to them and he helped them out. That is what God will do for you. He will not bury you because you have died. No, he will rather speak life into you to resurrect you. And whatever person, the devil, whatever thing is trying to sit on you, God is going to impose limitations on the rule of the devil over the earth, so that the devil will have difficulty in his rule on this earth. Just for our sake. He said, "Curse is the ground for your sake." Not against you, it's for you. Hallelujah. So don't run away from God. Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. You need to have repentance towards God in order for you to have a right response to sin. When you have a right response to God, that he doesn't hate you, he is not behind your suffering. Is the devil, the god of this world, who is behind your suffering. He rather wants to use your suffering to work together for your good. So you need to change your mind. People think that God is against them if they sin, and so they move away from sin. He says that, but look, this mourning that you have, this godly sorrow that you have, what diligence it produced in you. Number two, the right response to sin. Number two, he says that what clearing of yourselves, underlying clearing of yourselves. In other words, if a believer sins in the kingdom arrangement of Jesus, he has to clear himself. Clear himself of what? Clear himself of the sin. Why should he clear himself of the sin? Because God has already cleared him from sin. And I want us to read that in the book of Romans, chapter number 6 or so. Romans chapter 6 and then verse 6 downwards. You know, a believer in Jesus Christ should clear himself, because God has cleared him of the sin that he just sinned. So he has to cleanse himself. Do you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1? It says that let us cleanse ourselves. We should do it. Cleanse yourself. Or clear yourself if you like. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell, and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name. Amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-807-8535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.